Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Bishop Robert Brennan. Welcome, Bishop.
Hello, Father Adam.
We're going to continue our conversation on the bishop's vision for the diocese. Last, we were talking about discipleship, but we'll launch on, but first with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and for this time together. We ask that you shower your blessings upon us, fill our hearts with a confidence in your love, and the courage to always proclaim your truth. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Bishop, we were talking about how discipleship kind of describes what the life of Catholics are, and that this is a crucial part of your own vision, which we kind of summarize with the joy of the gospel and the splendor of truth. We talked, and I was going to talk to you about this a little bit later, but I think now's the time really to strike while the iron's hot. But the different popes that have really spoken about this this truth of the Catholic life as discipleship, one of them is St. John Paul II.
Earlier in the conversation, I mentioned how John Paul is how fortunate I am to be alive when I am, and how John Paul II really was a major figure in my life. I was 16 years old when he was elected in 1978, and really, I guess, becoming a little bit more alert as to the life of the church. You know, I was in high school, and so we were learning more sophisticated, you might say, theology, maybe. And also, I was working in my parish and got to know the priest. And I remember when Pope John Paul came out and he spoke and he said, open wide the doors to Christ. Don't be afraid. Open wide to the doors to Christ. And I just, nothing against Pope Paul VI, but I just don't remember the access to him the way I remember it. Again, part of it was my own coming of age, but hearing him and being excited by what he said and seeing this as a new moment. But the real moment for me was in October of the following year, in 1979, when Pope John Paul came to the United States. He gathered in the youth. This was before World Youth Day, but he gathered the youth in Madison Square Garden, and I had gotten some tickets. Because there weren't too many applicants, but my brother, my sister, and I were part of a group that went from our home parish with one of the priests, and we were up high and back, you know, and you didn't have quite the electronics the way you do today, so we were behind the Pope. So I didn't see everything that was going on, but I remember the music being upbeat, and I was expecting something very, very solemn, mm-hmm. very pontifical. And yet it was anything but that. And then one of the things I remember, this is one of the famous moments, he was making some kind of a moaning noise and, you know, this woo, woo. And all I could remember is thinking, how rude. I mean, you know, like people are like, what are they doing in front of the Pope? And then, of course, it was the Pope himself who was doing that. And then when he started to speak, this isn't what I imagined a Pope talking being yeah. like. It was nothing like it. And then over the years, seeing that over and over again and being caught up with some of his images, seeing the impact he had in the world through his travels and through his challenges to the communist governments, seeing his promotion of the dignity of the human person, I was glad to be growing in that time. So I would say I was formed under the pontificate of Pope John Paul II. And, of course, that took me well into my years as a priest. So he died in 2005. I was already ordained some 16 years or so. And it was just so uplifting. You know, his love of God, his conviction. There was some level of conviction in what he said, and the joy that it brought him.
And even though he didn't write Joy of the Gospel, he certainly was filled with joy of the Gospel.
With the joy of the Gospel. He knew how to laugh. He knew how to joke. I remember when I wasn't in St. Louis when he went to St. Louis, but I think they handed him a hockey stick or something like that, and he started playing with the hockey stick, and he made all kinds of allusions to sports imagery and current things that were going on, and you know, he would joke with the young people. Again, I wasn't at Denver, and that's something I regret. I wasn't at Denver for World Youth Day, but I remember, you know, him coming out and listening to the kids serenading and him serenading back and then telling everybody, okay, the Pope has to get to sleep because he has to work tomorrow.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship with your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Bishop Brennan, and we've been talking about his vision, in particular how his vision really is the vision of the church that comes from our Holy Fathers, so the popes over the last 50 years, really. And we've been talking about John Paul II. What are some, you know, he taught so much, John Paul did, so many writings that he's left us. What are some particular inspirational things that John Paul II wrote about that have moved you or have impacted your life?
One of the first, and the one that I keep coming back to, is that image of don't be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. Don't be afraid. And that has echoed in my head so many times. When it's tempting to be afraid or you're tempted to lay back, you get a sense of loving his love for the Eucharist. And I remember, and I don't know if it was in the document when he spoke about the Eucharist, but when he named that year of the Eucharist, he said every priest, every one of us, we have to examine our conscience on how we approach the Eucharist. And mm-hmm. I thought of that and I said, yeah, that's something, you know, it can become very easily another thing we do in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called on that. And another, he talks about don't be afraid to give your time to God. Time given to God is not time lost, but actually time transformed and then given back to you in a far more powerful way. So those are some of those things. But that constantly, we want Jesus. That's what he said in Poland. Remember mm-hmm. that? He got people to just simply to chant, we want Jesus. And I think that those kinds of things lift us up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were named a bishop by Benedict XVI, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
How has he affected you or formed you?
That's interesting. I admire so much about what Benedict taught. He had a very gentle disposition, which is not the reputation that people would have given him. I remember having the chance to greet him, and it was like talking to one of my great uncles. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a real gentleness and a kindness and an interest in who you were and what you did. He was, you know, whereas Pope John Paul was sort of like the joyful, kind of lift you up kind
yeah.
of guy. Benedict was sort of the soft-spoken, reassuring, listening. So mm-hmm. he wanted to hear from you. And, you know, it's funny. One of the things that I draw most from Pope Benedict is something that I kind of struggle with. It wasn't in papal encyclicals, but, you know, he wrote those three books, the series Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really writing this more as a theologian, just putting these ideas out there. And I'm thinking, well, okay, you know, you
yeah.
are the Pope.
Yeah.
And you do teach definitively. But some of those essays about the parables, the essay about the Our Father.
Yeah.
I chose my motto from the Our Father largely because of the experience of my childhood and the prayer I learned as a child. But really, his essay on the Our Father was one of those things that really stays with me and I draw from often.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. We were blessed with a great teacher in him and are blessed with a great teacher in him. So
indeed.
And then Pope Francis, too, of course, he named you Bishop of Columbus.
And we had the ad limina this year, and we had a little bit of a laugh about that. You know, he said, I'm new. I just went to Columbus. Thank you for the appointment. And he said, well, you know, even the Pope makes a mistake once in a while. Thank God he laughed as he said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I would have slinked right out of the room there. But yes, he sent me here, and I thank God every day that he did. I love being here. But yes, now the Joy of the Gospel is my go-to book on that.
Yeah.
And I know we'll have some more time to talk about some of the particulars of it. But that sense of experiencing Christ as not as a burden,
yeah,
but as a real joy, and that, you know, the church's teachings, again, the truth, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth, is not a baseball bat that we hit people over the head with,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually a gift that gives joy and freedom to the human person.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the shepherds that you have sent to us, especially the successors of St. Peter. We ask that your blessing be on Pope Benedict, the Pope Emeritus, and Pope Francis. And we ask that your blessing be upon our own bishop, Bishop Robert Brennan. We give you thanks for him. And we just ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me has been Bishop Brennan. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you.
And until next time, peace and all good.